day is it, son?
Game day.
What day?
Game day.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Get ready for a game day edition of CBJ in 30.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice. Join the discussion on Twitter by using the hashtag CBJ in 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
We started off with a little Motown Christmas from the Motor City. Stevie Wonder there. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligott. The Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings get their season series underway here tonight. And for the Blue Jackets, they've had a couple of days off. They get back at it this evening, and they do so having fallen out of one of the top three spots in the Metropolitan Division. They're back into a wild card spot today. But again, that's because they haven't played, and also because the Philadelphia Flyers have now won seven straight games. The Blue Jackets have won four straight coming into this one, and hopefully that continues here tonight against the Red Wings. This should be a good one this evening. The Blue Jackets, though, are a little bit in flux here tonight as to what their lineup is going to be. Oliver Bjorkstrand has been recalled from the Cleveland Monsters. It's an emergency recall because I believe there's some sickness going on right now, and somebody may or may not be able to play tonight. So you bring in Bjorkstrand on an emergency recall. If you need him tonight, you can put him in. Now, if he has to play tonight, good for him, because he'll get an opportunity to show again that he belongs here. And remember, Bjorkstrand got sent out of here pretty early this season, got sent back down to Cleveland, and we haven't really heard much of him since he was sent back down. He may get an opportunity to once again open the eyes of John Tortorella tonight. And if he gets that chance, it might be a one-game chance. It might be more than one-game chance. Who knows where he'll be playing, depending upon the situation. Maybe he's playing on the fourth line tonight. Who the heck knows? I would think, depending upon who may or may not be able to play, that if he comes in, I could certainly see if there's a spot open that, and it's not on the fourth line, that somebody might move up in the lineup and that he could get put there and be basically told, okay, if you want to make an impression, you're going to have to do it with very limited minutes here tonight. Or he could get thrust into a more prominent role. We'll have to wait and see. But the best case scenario for the Blue Jackets is everybody's ready to play. The lineup doesn't change, but that may not be the case tonight. I just want to give you the heads up and the warning on that. Tonight is also going to be unofficially here in Detroit, Zach Werenski night at Joe Louis Arena. It's been a tough couple of weeks here for Zach. His grandfather passed away, and he came up here the last few days to deal with that situation. Now he's going to go into the Joe, a place where he would go as a kid, which was like, what, 5 years ago. He would go to watch the Red Wings. That was a hometown team for him after coming from Grosse Pointe, Michigan. And he's going to be in that building wearing a different uniform, playing against not only the Detroit Red Wings, who was the hometown team for him growing up, but also against one of his best friends in the world, Dylan Larkin, who was not only a teammate in youth hockey, in AAA, but in college at Michigan, and now he's going to go head-to-head against him here in the NHL tonight. And we're going to hear from Dylan Larkin a little bit later in the show, and he'll talk about Zach Werenski and whether or not he's surprised about Zach's early success. And really what he's expecting tonight is those two get ready to go head-to-head for actually the very first time. But let's start things off talking about the Blue Jackets themselves. And when I do that, I like to start right at the top with the head coach, John Tortorella.
Torch, you've had a couple of days here in between games. And as you've been off, other teams have played. And when you look at the standings, they're starting to catch up a little bit here. So, you talk about tests, and maybe this is one here because you get to get back on the ice the next 2 days, and now you're looking to get some of those points back.
Yeah, we don't spend a lot of time talking about what other teams are doing, winning or losing. We just need to worry about our day. Had a good day of practice. We play our game and just worried about that particular day and what we're doing and let the other stuff take care of itself.
You've been working on special teams, and your power play has been great all year long. Your penalty kill's kind of in the middle of the road. What is it with that? What can you do to make that better?
I think it's just the players understanding our system. The past few goals, we've gotten seamed. We've lost the seam play, and they've scored some goals there. Shawzy has done a lot of work on the forecheck here the past couple of days and making him understand where the most important ice is. I think we've left the most important ice and worrying about ice where you're not really going to get hurt. So we've run around a little bit. So he's just trying to get it more disciplined and understand where the most important plays are being made, and that's the play we have to take away.
In practice, if you can stop the number one power play unit in the league, does that make you better as a penalty killer?
Yeah, you know, the power play in practice, I don't read too much into whether it's doing bad or good. Same thing with the penalty kill. It gives us a chance. With these 2 days we had, it just gave us a chance just to revisit our forecheck on our penalty kill and just let Shawzy do a little work with some of the guys. It's a little bit different than last year. We started off really well. I just think we've gotten a little sloppy as far as our positioning, and that's what Shawzy really tried to work on the past couple of days.
Well, Sam Gagne, when Jarmo called you during the summer and said, hey, we're looking at Sam Gagne, maybe to sign him, did you have any idea what kind of a player that you might be getting?
No. I know Sam had bounced around, highly touted when he first came in, had struggled, wasn't playing last year a whole bunch. I think he may have even gone down to the minors. But Jarmo called me, him, Billy Zito, John Davis, and talked. We were looking to try to strengthen our middle. We know Sam can make a play. We were talking about the center ice position to maybe see, let's give him a look. It was going to be a low-end contract, if that's what you can call that. It's still a lot of money. And I said, yeah. I said, let's see what it is. When we talked to Sam, and I've said it every time we talk about him, I wanted to see how he was going to react after we said, okay, let's give this a try. He immediately signed a contract. Didn't try to grind for more money, didn't try to be a businessman. That was a real telling tale to me that he wants to try to revive his career. And he's done that. And so I give him a lot of credit as far as it's a tough road for a veteran guy, knowing that it's coming to an end here if he doesn't get this last chance completed. So he's handled himself really well.
Have you ever had a guy that you've been able to utilize like him that's basically been a fourth-line winger but a top power play guy that's gotten double-digit goals?
Yeah. Now, remember, I told you we were looking at a center ice position. He didn't fit center ice for us. It just didn't work. When I put him on wing, that's when his game changed. I think it took away some of the thinking you need to have as a center iceman because it's a complete ice game. But as far as a power play, we knew we were going to use him on a power play. We weren't sure if he was going to be on the number one power play. He's fit in there and has done some great things for us. So, you know, it's the story. You never can give up on players here, and especially when a guy is hungry to try to stay in the league. And I think it's a terrific job by our guys, Jarmo and the boys, even thinking about this because everybody kind of had written him off last year. And I give a lot of credit to the whole gang from our group and to Sam and his group. To where he is right now as a player.
We're talking about him because he was the hero of the last game. The beautiful thing about your team is next it could be Nick Foligno, could be Alexander Winberg, could be Matt Calvert, could be anybody. When you have teams like this, how difficult is it for these other teams to defend, and how nice is it that everybody is inclusive, and that includes Curtis McElhaney, who got into the act in Arizona?
Yeah, if you can get some balance within your team and get it steady, it's tough to check. I think teams just have to play and not really focus in on your top guys because maybe some other guys are going to beat you that given night. So right now, you know, we're in the first quarter, a little bit more than the first quarter. I think we've had some pretty good balance. Hopefully it will continue because it's a – Bobby, it helps the camaraderie of the team too into where everybody feels they're part of it, you know, that nobody feels left out. You know, Prouder and Harry and those guys, it's tough for them because they've been sitting out here. But for the guys that are playing right now and the 20 guys that are playing that given night, if everybody's contributed, it really helps the locker room.
Back to the Eastern Conference after playing some teams in the West, do you expect this to be more wide open, which Can you utilize your speed more?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. You just when you think you have it figured out as far as how the game's going to be played on a given night, it changes. So it's been one of our strengths this year. We have just tried to play our game no matter how the team wants to play against us. We're trying to keep it simple. We're trying to play as fast as possible. We're trying to go north as quickly as possible. So nothing changes in our game plan. We'll see how the games are played.
All right, Torts, thanks. Good luck.
All right, man.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. And you heard how he talked about Sam Gagner there and what he thinks about Sam Gagner. And it really goes back to the summer. As he said, Jarmo Kekäläinen calls. He says, we're thinking about signing Sam Gagner. John Tortorella talks to Gagner. Basically lays it out for him as to his expectations, what he thinks his role is going to be, and Gagner doesn't waste any time. And as Tort said, he was waiting to see, is he going to be a businessman or is he going to be a hockey player? He signed the contract the next day, so right away he was being looked upon favorably in the coach's eyes. And don't forget, Sam Gagner was a healthy scratch right at the start of the season. He played the first game and then boom, he was a healthy scratch. The message was being sent immediately to him that whatever he did early wasn't good enough. And he has certainly changed things since then. And I think that that conversion from center to wing has helped him. I don't know if Sam feels the same way as Torts does. And Sam probably feels like he's a very good centerman and he doesn't need to play the wing, but he could play at center. But he doesn't care. And that's what the whole thing is here. He is not creating waves. He's going out. He's given a job to do. He goes out. He does that job. He waits for his opportunities. He gets on the power play. He centers the power play unit, and he just waits between the circles for Wennberg or Foligno or somebody to get him the puck, and then he buries it. That's what he has done for 24 games, and that's what I expect that he is going to continue to do. And that's why I said if there is a situation tonight where somebody can't play and there's an opening on lines 1, 2, or 3, don't think that John Tortorella wouldn't be thinking already in his mind about moving Sam Gagner off the fourth line and giving him a more prominent role because he's deserved it. And Torts knows he deserves it. He just doesn't have a spot for him. When everything is working, you don't change anything, right? Matt Calvert was working great with William Karlsson and Josh Anderson. And then Calvert got hurt and he had to come out of the lineup. So now you have to make a change. So you put Scotty Hartnell up there, let him play with those guys. Now he's got some chemistry with them. And now Calvert comes back, and he can't get back in his old spot. He's got to go onto the fourth line with Gagner and Sedlak. That's just the way it goes. But you don't change anything. When you're playing well, you don't change anything unless your hand is forced. And if his hand is forced tonight, don't be surprised if Sam Gagner gets a bigger role on this team against the Red Wings this evening. Now, speaking of Matt Calvert, he's been back for a couple of games after having to sit out with injury. I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about the game where he takes a slap shot in the face. And he comes back and he's the hero of the game. And then a couple days later, it starts to sink in that everything isn't right. Matt, you had to sit out a couple of games and you come back into the lineup and you didn't get your regular spot back. You didn't get to go back with Karlsson and Anderson as of yet. You know how things work. That could happen. You go in on the fourth line with Gagner and Sedlak. Is that a tough thing to do, or is it just you're one of many guys on this team? Whatever role you're asked to fill, that's the one you're going to fill.
Yeah, you definitely you can't complain. Any line you play on this team, you're playing with great players. I think Gags is leading our team in goals, so you know, he's a real fun guy to play with. And you know, I thought we made good of the opportunities we got last game, and it got us a goal there. And Gags obviously took care of the rest in the power play. So yeah, it's a lot of fun playing on this team right now. Winning hockey games, you can't beat that. So there's no complaints on anyone.
Well, one thing about you, because of your versatility, you still get your minutes, especially on the penalty kill. You're a very important part of that. So, you know, some guys, they can get put on a line like that, and you don't see very much of them, but you're not that way. You know you're going to get those chances, right?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in the PK, and, you know, some nights you get more minutes than others from it. And, you know, it's a big part of our team, and I think it's something we need to keep getting better at. We've had some goals against in the last few games, and it's something I'm hoping to come back in and help and try to lead the way.
You were such a big hero in that game where you got the slap shot off the forehead, and then you played after that, and then all of a sudden, now it's like the delayed reaction, having to sit out. Was that a tough thing for you to deal with?
It was. You know, I think you got to be honest with yourself. The first time I went through a concussion. It's you know, I kind of pushed it like I would any other kind of injury, but you got to treat your head different than your hand or your leg. You know, it's just it's something you don't want to play through because it affected me for quite a while last time. So I ended up missing a month, and you know, had to get feeling better throughout the summer. So this time I played it smart, and I think the concussion awareness out there is something that I think helps us players be able to shut her down and get the proper rest and get feeling better.
Besides having that experience of having gone through it before, being one of the veteran guys, you are the most veteran guy on this team. Let's be honest about it. But it's a different thing for you. When you're a younger guy, if you get hurt like that, you want to push yourself to get back into the lineup because you're afraid of losing your spot. But now as you get older, do you look at it a little bit differently?
I don't think so. I think you push yourself no matter what. You know, you gotta set a precedent around here that, you know, if you're hurt, you know, other than a concussion, you got to play through. If you're feeling 80%, Danny Hynow told me that my first year. You know, if you're feeling 75%, he's like, you might be feeling 75% for 60 out of the 80 games, and you know, you got to find a way to play, and you got to find a way to contribute and play your game. So that's kind of something you do. A concussion's a completely different thing. It's something you don't really want to push through, but you know, it helps a lot. I think when you're out, when you're not feeling like you need to get back, when your team's winning, not that you take any longer for that reason, but you know, sometimes in the past teams lose and you feel like you need to really go help. But it's great when the team's winning hockey games and you know you have the proper time to rest and come back as best as feeling as you could.
Speaking of winning, you guys have been doing that very well so far. Now college football season starting to come to an end. People are noticing, not only in Columbus, but people around the NHL. How do you guys stay in your own little bubble here and continue to do what you've been doing and not kind of have any of the outside stuff feed into you and start to do things that are different? Just keep doing the same thing.
I think it's all about our structure. That's what's been winning us hockey games. We haven't, you know, it's not like we're a real flashy team. We go out there every night. We win a lot of one-goal, two-goal games. And we're a patient team. For a young team, we're very patient. Nobody gets panicked on the bench if we're down one. It's confidence too. Confidence along with patience has helped us a lot. But it's exciting in the city. You go to the mall and you know, I was on the phone the other day at the mall and some guy yells "Go Jackets!" and I'm on the phone and I give him a smile and it's amazing. I seen it during our playoff run against Pittsburgh. There, you know, we go in places, restaurants take care of our meals. They do a lot. They're great fans. It's just it's about time they've got rewarded for that, and it's great to see. So we'll just come to work every day. You know, I know it's cliche, but you just keep it simple and stay within our structure, and we'll be fine.
Back into the Eastern Conference with Detroit and the Islanders coming up in these next two games. The style changes, quite frankly. Those Arizona games, to me, they both look like American Hockey League games. There was a lot of scrambling going on in those. Will it be tough to make that adjustment to get back to the structure and maybe ready for the wide-open run-and-gun games?
It'll definitely be different. It was kind of a bit of flashback to start the season back in the Western Conference. I don't know how many games we've had against them, but seems like it's been a lot. But, the East is a little different. But you saw the boys matched up against Tampa. You know, they're a fast team. I think your typical Eastern Conference team. So, you know, we did well against them. So I think we stay within our structure again. And everyone can skate on this team. That's kind of what we're built around is speed and hard work. So we'll just take it from there and be ready for the East.
Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Matt Calvert could be a big part of this game tonight. And that's the beauty of Matt Calvert. He could be a big part of any game that the Blue Jackets play. And the Blue Jackets have had success here at Joe Louis Arena in recent years. You know, once upon a time, playing against the Red Wings was a real struggle for the Blue Jackets. But in the last couple of seasons, they've been very good at getting wins in this building. Now, I don't mean you just show up and you get a victory. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But there's got to be a little bit of confidence in this team for the guys that have been here, in Atkinson and Calvert and Foligno and Dubinsky and Jack Johnson and David Savard. I mean, a lot of these guys, they've done good things here in the last couple of years. And Jack Johnson is another Michigan guy getting a chance to come here and play. I mentioned Zach Werenski will play in this building for the first time as an NHL player, and he goes up against his team that he looked at growing up and wanted to play for, I'm sure, because Nicklas Lidström was a guy that he idolized as a young player. And, well, that's a pretty good idolization, don't you think? Especially the way that Werenski has started off his NHL career. The Red Wings come into this game not in a playoff spot as of right now. They are 13-11-3. Now, they have been playing better lately. I saw a stat earlier today that said that in their last 20 games, they've only won two of them in regulation.
but they are 8-9-3 in that stretch. So what they're doing is, if they get pushed beyond regulation, they have been good. But it's going to be tough. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be tough tonight. But the Red Wings are going to look to send a message to the Blue Jackets, and really a message to themselves in the process. This is a team that has made the playoffs for over 20 straight years. And now that is really in jeopardy. If you go by the old, and I told you I've thrown this theory out, but let's do it just for argument's sake here today. If you're in the playoff picture by Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, for those of you in Canada, if you're in the playoff picture by Thanksgiving, then you have a 78% chance of making the playoffs. That's just the way it's worked out over the last number of years. 78% chance. So they're not in the playoffs right now. They weren't at Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean you can't do it, because look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, who weren't in it at Christmas last year, and yet they won the Stanley Cup. But the playoff streak is in jeopardy. Earlier today, over at Joe Louis Arena, Dylan Larkin talked about the responsibility of being a Detroit Red Wing and making sure your team makes the playoffs, trying to keep that streak alive. And I also got him to talk a good bit about his good friend, Zach Werenski, and the experience of playing against him tonight.
When you come into a season, you want to be in the postseason, and you want to be in the playoffs to try and win the Stanley Cup. So there's got to be a pressure on every team to be in that position to make the playoffs.
You guys take it. I mean, some people just take it for granted that Wings are always going to be in the playoffs, but the next longest streak is 11. When you think about that, like what this franchise has been able to do about making the playoffs every year.
Yeah, you know, obviously you can make the playoffs and not win the Stanley Cup, and I think they've done it four times in that streak, and it's great to, you know, speaks to the management and the players that, you know, have played here, you know, before all of us, and, you know, even us last year. So it is cool to contribute it, but we got to worry about this year, and can't be worried about a streak.
Dylan, when you talk about that, you know, that when guys like Datsyuk move out, and now guys like you, the younger guys come in, how much do you feel that, you know, that responsibility to carry on that tradition?
I don't think, I guess it is responsibility, but it's part of being a Red Wing. It's, you know, you learn from those guys that, you know, I've learned from guys like Nick Lindstrom and Steve Yzerman, and you know, that even goes on to, you know, we still have Ted Lindsay around the locker room monthly, and, you know, that goes to Gordie Howe, and, you know, the way these guys, you know, act in the locker room, treat their peers, and, you know, treat the fans. It's truly part of being a Red Wing, and I don't know if that has anything to do with a streak, but I think being a Red Wing, you're doing the right things, and you're expected to perform on the ice and off the ice.
You said it's the first time you're going to play against Zach Werenski. Go back to all those years you played together in practice. How many times you go up against him in practice?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I think I know. He's learned some things, but you know, I definitely know he's got a great stick. Try and skate away from it and use my speed to stay away from the poke check, but. We've had some battles at Michigan and even this past summer skating together. So, I'm excited to see him out there though.
If you go back to AAA and then to Michigan, a lot of people in the league are surprised at what he's doing. Are you surprised at what he's doing?
No, not really. I think, you know, you see him last year at the World Junior and see the way he played and the way he carried himself. And then I saw him at Michigan when he was the youngest player in college hockey. And, you know, he handles himself so well. He's so mature. And, you know, every step he's taken, he's elevated his game. So it doesn't surprise me too much. But, you know, it's probably good to have him in Columbus.
I know it's a team game, but at the end of the night, there's got to be some bragging rights on the line here, right? Whether it's what team wins, what team loses, or maybe more importantly, when you guys are on the ice together head-to-head, who wins the battles?
I don't know. I mean, we're both pretty light-spirited, but I think, I know he used to be a Wings fan, so maybe he's cheering for us a little bit.
Did you guys catch up with each other yesterday?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Are you helping him with tickets at all?
A little bit, yeah. Hey, yeah. He's got a few I know people how here. It is, so, yeah, he's got a big crowd coming, and, I'll help him out a little bit.
As a guy who went through that same thing, playing in this building and this being the hometown team, how exciting is that, and how can it be difficult if you don't handle it right?
Yeah, it is exciting. You know, every night my parents are here in the stands, and you know, I get to go home and get away from hockey a little bit and hang with my parents and familiar with the area. So all those things kind of help you feel comfortable. And I think you know, as soon as you I don't know, I think get too comfortable, maybe it can be bad for you, and you know, you start thinking that, you know, you're everything you have here is just supposed to be given to you, and you're not working for anything. That's when you can get in trouble.
Maybe you can remind him on the ice tonight how big a night it is and how much pressure there is on him. That'd get him off his game a little bit, you think?
No, I don't think he'd get him. It's tough to get him off his game, but no, we'll see.
Even Dylan Larkin knows that you can't get Zach Werenski off his game. Here's the way it should be phrased. You can get him off his game, but it's not going to last long. And that's what we've seen. If you go back to the last couple of games especially, I think the Arizona Coyotes got him off his game a little bit. And now, of course, we know that he was dealing with some other things, some personal things going on in his own head. But it's going to happen. 82 games in a season in the NHL. And you're going to have your highs and your lows. The key is to stay in the middle the majority of the time. And that's what Zach Werenski has done. When Dylan Larkin was talking before the conversation that we had, he said that he's talked with Zach about the play in the NHL, not the game in the NHL, but about the things off the ice, about the grind of the season, and about being ready to play back-to-back games, which Zach is going to do tomorrow. Plays here tonight, back at home against the Islanders tomorrow. So they've had those conversations, and it's got to be nice for Zach Werenski to have a guy like Dylan Larkin that he can go to, a good friend, a teammate for most of his life, and be able to ask him these questions and get the honest answers that he needs to get himself mentally ready. And it'll be fun to watch them tonight. I don't know how many times they'll wind up on the ice at the same time, but it is going to be fun to watch them as they go head-to-head. And I'm telling you, he kind of blew off the bragging rights question that I asked him there, but there's always bragging rights. It's a competition. These guys are playing at the highest level in the world. Believe me, everything that they're doing is a competition. It's a team competition. It is an individual competition, and the bragging rights mean so much. The Detroit Red Wings coming into this game tonight, 84.1% on the penalty kill, but their head coach Jeff Blashill went way out of his way this morning to talk about the Blue Jackets power play and how he doesn't want to be in the box against the Blue Jackets. And this is a power play that, as we all know, is kind of cooled off. And how could it not? At the beginning of the year, they were converting at over 40%. They were getting goals within the first 24, 38, 48 seconds of the power play. And it was bound to cool off. Teams are making adjustments. They are pressuring Werenski more at the blue line. They're pressuring Alexander Wennberg more on the half wall as he's trying to set up the plays. They're pressuring Nick Foligno more down to the right of the net. So there's a lot of changes being made by other teams, and the Blue Jackets have been making adjustments. They're coming off a game where they just had two power play goals. So they're at 24.6% coming into this game tonight. The Red Wings want to make sure that that number is at least the same, if not less, by the time they leave. Red Wings getting some players back into their lineup tonight, and this one guy I like. I like him for two reasons. Actually, both guys coming back make the all-name team for me. So I'm glad they're back because I get to say their names all night long. But on the forward side, it's Andreas Athanasiou, and he has missed 12 games because of a left knee injury. This guy is fast as the wind. He is there. He is gone. Remember last year, Nationwide Arena, he had a very good game against the Blue Jackets. You got to pick him up, and picking him up is hard to do because he's there, then he's gone. So he's back in the lineup tonight. Who knows if that knee injury is going to slow him down at all. Obviously, if they thought it was, he wouldn't be back in the lineup after missing the 12 games. Maybe he's a little bit rusty. Cross your fingers and hope, because I think this guy's a very good player. And on the blue line, Alexei Marchenko comes back. He has been out for the last 8 games because of a shoulder injury. So Athanasiou and Marchenko are back in. As I said, all name team guys for me. So I'm happy they're back, just to say that. Jeff Blashill said there are going to be some decisions that won't be made until later tonight. He said there's some question marks as to guys that might be able to play or might not be able to play for his team this evening. So his final lineup decisions will be made after warm-ups tonight, and that includes the defensive pairing. He didn't have any idea. Well, he had an idea. Don't get me wrong. He knows what he's going to do. He just has to wait and see if the guys that he thinks are going to be available are actually going to be available later on tonight. So that is the Scene Center from here in Detroit. Blue Jackets and the Red Wings opening their season series here this evening. As I said, for the Blue Jackets, it's the first of two games this weekend. They'll be back at home to take on the New York Islanders tomorrow and then going out on that ever-important Western Canada swing to Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver next week. It's tough for the Blue Jackets. If you look at the schedule between now and Christmas, there are no cupcakes on the schedule, believe me. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of travel. It's over the course of time zones. But you know what? It's going to be fun. This is what you want. You want to be at this time of the year heading toward Christmas in a spot like the Blue Jackets are right now. You're hoping that they had the 3 days off. They get passed by the Flyers. They come right back out and they jump back on their game here tonight and they pick up points and they leapfrog Philadelphia and that they just keep on going. But this is fun. Getting toward Christmas and having a team that has had this much success and has this much talent, too, and to see if they can continue putting it together game after game, day after day, week after week. That's what's been so fun so far, and hopefully it's going to be many, many weeks of watching this same thing and hopefully with the same results, of course. Puck drops tonight at 7:30 at Joe Louis Arena. And you'll be able to hear all of the action on the Blue Jackets radio network, including the flagship station in Columbus, 97.1 The Fan. And pregame coverage starts at 7:15 tonight. Until then, this is Bob McElligott saying so long.